episode 67.
Looking back on it now, 20 years in this business, I am so thankful for just how hard he was on me. I'm thankful for the fact that it pushed me to be better. It pushed me to be quicker. It pushed me to be a better technician. And at the time, I remember complaining. I was 18, complaining to my parents about how I'm getting treated. And you know what? But that really formed me to be who I am today.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Joe Valland of Auto Safety Center in West Bend, Wisconsin. Joe, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Absolutely.
Hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriato here, and welcome to episode 67 with Joe Valland from Auto Safety Center in West Bend, Wisconsin. Welcome to the aftermarket's only industry-wide podcast where wisdom flows from each episode. And thanks for being on board. For optimal engagement with the podcast, please become an insider and learn when every new episode is released. Just go to the footer on any webpage on the RemarkableResults.biz website. You'll see a VU meter. Just click it and go to the insider form. I promise to never, ever sell your email address. And if someday you want to leave the insider, then just unsubscribe. By the way, our face-to-face offering is growing, and I'm committed to bringing you a minimum of 2 interactive roundtable discussions each month. These are video podcasts. That is where we take a subject and roll it around with 3 other guests. We do it live for your edification and then serve up the replay at a later date. Keep an eye out on the Insider Newsletter, Facebook or Twitter, for the latest scoop on all podcast news and live events. Now, Joe Valland from Auto Safety Center in West Bend, Wisconsin. As a high school senior, Joe got his first automotive mechanic job in September 1995 through his high school co-op program. He was a co-oper. As the Lord's providence would have it, he says, the placement was with Roger Berth at the Auto Safety Center, and that's the shop he owns today. In January 1996, Joe graduated from West Bend East High School and began working full-time at Auto Safety Center. Roger was a great mentor, he said, and Joe learned a great deal during his time there. Joe quickly recognized his obsession with cars and a personal goal to own his own shop. He attended Moraine Park Technical College of Fond du Lac and received a degree in automotive technologies. At the time, Auto Safety Center did not do all aspects of auto repair, so Joe moved on to another shop to broaden his repair skills. After a few years of gaining experience, Joe decided the time was right to own his own business. He pursued purchasing a shop in West Bend, but the deal fell through after several months of negotiations. The shop Joe was working at closed, and his hopes of purchasing a shop was put on hold as he focused on finding a job. Joe heard Roger at Auto Safety Center was looking for help and dropped in to see if the job was available. They hit it off just like before, and 15 minutes into their conversation, Roger asked, "Have you ever thought of going into business for yourself?" Joe replied, "Funny you should ask." It took another year and a half to finalize the transaction, but in May 05, Joe and his wife Jessica became the next proprietors of the Auto Safety Center. Joe says the values of quality work, honesty, and integrity have remained unchanged as a common characteristic throughout all the years and ownership changes. This interview is jammed with great wisdom from Joe to include the inside on his strong culture. At the time of the interview, Joe is searching long and hard for a quality A-Tech. He talks of his challenge. He says that leaders are readers, and he shares 2 books that are very powerful reads for him. See the show notes for the titles and authors. The episode has a lot of perspective from Joe on success, advice, how he makes work-life balance happen, on developing people, and his corporate culture. Settle in. You're going to enjoy this ride. Here we go. Well, Joe, the background that you have is incredible because of late we've been talking on the podcasts about co-op students coming from high school or college and working inside of a shop. And as a young guy in high school, and I've actually seen the news article that you sent me, you did just that. Tell me about, you know, just give me a minute on how that was and how you felt. And of course, as I've already told people, you bought the shop you went to work for. I mean, wow, what a great interview this is going to be. So tell me about your days of a co-op student and working.
Absolutely. So as a high school senior, it was very enticing to me to be able to get out of the classroom, so to speak, and get into the shop. Not only did I get paid financially for it, also got some credits for school. So really, it didn't take much arm twisting to get involved with it. I really did enjoy it. It was very important for us, our class anyway, to be doing that because our shop at school was under construction. We weren't really able to get in there much. So this was really a benefit. I learned a lot on the job, being in a shop environment. And, you know, I guess my boss, the guy who hired me, had a willingness to train, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily like a strict form training program written out or anything like that. It was like, here, I'm going to show you how to mountain balance a tire. I'll show you. Now you do it. And same with wheel alignments and that kind of stuff. And
that was what, 10 years ago?
20 years ago.
20 years ago. And in the world of training, no one would have thought of having a curriculum and, hey, we're going to make sure that Joe does all these things. You just filled the need, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he had one young guy that was a classmate of mine that I worked alongside, and he kind of taught me some things because he had been there longer. But really, it was just like, I need you to do this. I need you to do brakes. I need you to do, you know, these things. And I just did them. What we ended up with was about a half semester of work. I graduated at semester. So in January, I graduated. I didn't have to go for the second half of my senior year. And I started full time in the shop. And I did all that before I started tech school in the fall. So I had a great start, a great foundation of life in a shop and a lot of things that benefited me down the road, especially when I was in tech school. Specifically, share a story about tech school. The semester of the quarter where we did wheel alignments, I ended up coming down with mono and the flu. And so, I mean, I missed like half of that session. And I remember going in to take the test and really feeling like, boy, I don't know how I'm going to do on this. But because I had such a strong background in it from the shop I was working in, you know, I ended up passing and moving on. So
you got actually lucky to go and hang out in the School of Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say it was the School of Hard Knocks. You know, it was tough. My boss was a great guy. Gave me an opportunity, very graceful. However, not everybody I work with was always as graceful. You know, I had one senior tech that I worked with that was very overbearing, very just very demanding. And I tell you what, when I worked there, I really hated his guts. But looking back on it now, 20 years in this business, I am so thankful for just how hard he was on me. I'm thankful for the fact that it pushed me to be better. It pushed me to be quicker. It pushed me to be a better technician. And at the time, I remember complaining. I was 18, complaining to my parents about how I'm getting treated. And you know what? But that really formed me to be who I am today in the simple fact of working hard, working smart, knowing the processes of a wheel alignment and that kind of stuff. So
excellent. So, Joe, you're working in the shop. You're a co-op guy. You're learning all this great stuff. What was the day, the aha moment that said, I'm going to be my own businessman?
The aha moment for me when I decided to go into business for myself was just, I guess, facing the fact that I wanted to provide for my family. We wanted to obviously raise some kids, allow my wife to stay home with the kids, and this was a way to make that happen. My wife is involved in the business behind the scenes, paying bills and writing payroll and handling a lot of the bookkeeping, which she can do at home, and she can do that during the day or in the evening or whenever suits her schedule. So really it was just a matter of us trying to find something that fit for our family.
Got it. And what a beautiful family. I just have
Thank
to
you.
Encourage everyone to go on the website, Auto Safety Center in West Bend, Wisconsin, and take a look at the main picture that's on the website. Now, I don't know if that's proud on purpose, that it talks about safety and family, but you have one beautiful looking family there right on the front page. I tell you, that's just fabulous. What gets you out of bed in the morning, Joe?
The excitement of a new day, new possibilities. Ready, you know, to go. You don't know what the day is going to hold. Looking for opportunities to excel, opportunities to overcome, just the challenges that we face every day. Life as an auto shop owner, managing the shop, it's an exciting life. It's an exciting way to come to work. Not necessarily always the best, but exciting nonetheless.
If you didn't need money, Joe, what would you do in life?
What I really enjoy is taking individuals. I really enjoy working with them, training them, helping them be the best that they can be. I really enjoy helping others be successful, helping others succeed. And I think that's a lot of the part that gets me fired up about my business is I can bring people in, I can train them, I can, you know, give them the keys to the car, so to speak, and then just watch them fly, you know. And that's exciting to me. It's exciting to set goals with individuals and see them hit them.
So you celebrate. You love the word leadership.
Yes. It's a love-hate relationship. But yes, I do. I do love leading, and I'm not always the best at it, and there's struggles, but absolutely.
How do you manage your work-life balance with this beautiful family?
How I manage the work-life balance is I think it depends on the season that you're in. Right now, we're in a really tough season, short-staffed, so I'm spending more time at the shop. I'm kind of doing double duty, but I know that it's in the best interest of my business and my company, and not only my business, but also the ones that work here.
Sure.
It is in the best interest for them. So right now we're a little bit work heavy, but I did have an opportunity to, when we were fully staffed, to take some time off, and that was great this year. And it was great to get home and enjoy the kids and leave work at work. I mean, my computer stays here in my office. It doesn't come home with me. And I try to leave work here. One of the best things that I've done to kind of help me with that is, you know, it gets to be the end of the day, 5 o'clock, and you say, boy, I have this long checklist of stuff that I got to do yet. You know what? Maybe you just take that checklist and you rewrite it to the things that you need to do tomorrow, and you put it on tomorrow's checklist. So that way you're kind of like, okay, I finished this. These three other items I didn't get to, well, we'll put it on tomorrow's to-do list. And you write it down, you leave it on your desk, and you leave work. That way, when you come in the morning, you sit down at your desk, you see it sitting there, and you say, okay, I have these three items to do that I didn't finish yesterday. And it's a great way to kind of clear the mind and not be thinking about it when you go
home. I like that. Good discipline. Joe, what's the best advice you've ever received?
There's been a lot of advice, Carm. There's been a lot of advice. Learning from my boss when I first came into the industry, you know, honesty is the best policy. I remember him saying that. Honesty is the best policy, and that's something that we've taken to heart here with our business and tried to be as transparent as possible and upfront as possible. You know, another great piece of advice comes from my first pastor. He was pastoring the church I was going to for 20-some years, 25 years. One could say that he was at the pinnacle of his career, but he told me, he said, you know, what keeps me going is just a simple reality and the thinking that I haven't arrived. I've been doing this so long, but I haven't arrived. There's still more to learn. There's still more to do. I can't just say, you know what? I've reached it. I'm at the top. I'm there. No, he said, you just got to keep working, keep putting in the effort that you did early on. And, don't think that you've arrived, because that's right when you stumble and fall and go all the way to the bottom.
Great advice. Hey, what's the big issues right now in your world?
The big issues right now would have to be, you know, finding a replacement tech. I lost my lead tech in September, and it's you know, the end of November now, middle of November, and we still haven't filled the position. I haven't gotten a lot of great applicants. You know, you get some new guys that are maybe 2-3 years experience or fresh out of tech school, but I really need somebody that's more seasoned and more experienced for this position. So we're facing that right now.
You're looking for an ATEC?
Mm-hmm.
And you're finding it very, very difficult to find.
Yes, very challenging to find somebody that I guess would meet the standards that I have for that position. I mean, I've had guys been in the industry for 20 some years, and I just didn't feel good about bringing them on. I just didn't think they were going to be a good fit.
Because of the culture of your company versus them.
Yeah, I mean, here's a great question. You ask them, when was the last time you went to training? Well, I haven't gone to training.
Oh,
okay. You know, the places they work at don't push them. And, you know, I want somebody that's going to continue, you know, staying on top of things.
Unless they want to come to your place and really make a difference and go to training because they were never encouraged. But if you've listened to the podcasts in the past, you've seen or you've heard some of my guests say, yeah, we have 40 hours that we require mm-hmm. our people. And some of them take 60 on their very own. And the guys that don't want to, the other guys drag them to the seminar. You're so right, because if the guy doesn't have a culture of training and you do, then that's a mismatch from day one.
Yeah. And you just wonder if they're going to be able to keep up with the learning curve. And the other thing too, Carm, that you hit the nail on the head, our culture here. I mean, our culture is different than a lot of shops. You know, some shops, they just come in and you know, do their 8-to-5 work and that's about it. And, you know, we definitely value training. We definitely value the right fit. I coin our culture as team centric and drama free. So we want to work as a team efficiently, service advisors, technicians, and by golly, we don't want any drama. Life is too short to be surrounded with drama.
Joe, if you could go back in time and do one thing over in starting your business, what would it be?
I wouldn't have waited so long to get some business training. I would have dove into training a lot sooner than I did. You know, sometimes they say the mother of invention is born out of necessity or something like that. And I can tell you that sometimes when you hit rock bottom, you got nowhere to go but to say, okay, I need to get some training because I'm kind of sucking at this right now.
Hey, did you ever read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber?
Yes.
Okay, baby. Well, you're on your way, huh?
Yes. One of the things that I did, I think it was like 2010, we kind of hit some skids and it was a rough patch. But I made a resolution to myself to read more. You know, leaders are readers. And I said, you know what, I'm not reading enough. And I think that first year I knocked out about 14 books, and it's been a little bit less now. But I mean, you name it, I think I've probably read it, and there's so much more that I want to read. But investing in yourself, every morning I wake up early before the kids most days and spend the time, half hour to an hour, reading and just having some time to get to invest in myself.
What's the latest business book that you read?
The book that I'm reading right now is it's called God is My CEO, and it's written by Larry Julian. He's written three books, and that book we're actually going through in a Bible study format with some other business owners that that are in all different industries. So that's the one I'm reading right now. I got a free one in the mail called It's My Pleasure. I'm talking about Chick-fil-A. I'm looking forward to reading that one, too.
What makes your business unique in the eyes of the industry and the eyes of the customer?
I would have to say it's the value that I put on people, the value I put on the people that work for me, the patience that that I display, and just the desire to see them flourish, the desire to see them grow. And, you know, when they come in, I'm not going to be push over and super easy on them. I'm going to hold them accountable. But at the end of the day, you know, we're on the same team and I want to see them succeed. I want to see them grow. And I think having people that are happy, enjoying their work, laughing. I mean, we have time of fun in the shop here. I think it shows and it puts out some quality work and good attitudes.
if it's not fun, it won't last.
Right. And you have to mix that in. And sometimes, you know, it's a fine line sometimes. But fun has its way of happening naturally sometimes, and we just go with it.
I want to change a little bit our line of questioning. Is there anything you feel your primary parts supplier could do to improve relations or service to you?
I think overall, the ones that we've selected, we've had a pretty good relationship with. I think you're always going to have some warranty factor, you know, where you have defective parts. And, you know, sometimes what I think is, you know, I'm going to stand behind this part. We have a 2-year, 24,000-mile warranty. And the only thing I could say would be, you know what, back us up a little bit more. I mean, that would be appreciated.
Got it. Do you see a trend when it comes to parts, to premium products, when your customers are offered a choice between premium and value?
Well, in some cases, we don't offer a choice. We've been burned a few times, and we kind of have that bad taste in our mouth, and we just know, you know what? In certain cases, it's just not worth it. It's going to probably come back, or it's just so we don't give it an option. In other cases, you know, it depends on the vehicle too. I mean, we had a 94 Saab in here today that, you know, was practically on its last leg. And in those cases, maybe it would make sense. They just have short-term ownership goals with it. In that case, it would make sense. But overall, we do like to give our customers an option, choices, you know, good, better, best. But sometimes the parts quality just won't allow us to do that.
So say there was a good and a better, where's the leaning?
It really depends on the customer and their budget.
Okay. It's the situation. I get it. And it's good to have the choice, right? Because
right.
That does help the customer's budget.
Right. And sometimes you look at it and you say, well, you know what, you're spending, let me put it in a way of tires, cause it is tire season here in Wisconsin. Sometimes we may look at, yeah, you're spending $800 on a set of tires and you're going to get, you know, some entry level value tires. But if you spend, you know, $100 to $150 more, you can get a way better tire. Now look at your total investment, $800 versus $950. You know, if those $800 tires only last you a year and a half, but those $950 tires last you, you know, 2.5 years, count your cost of ownership over the months. So in some cases, you know, it just says, yeah, it was a little bit more than I wanted to spend, the customer says. But in the end, they go with the better tire.
So, you know, the cost per mile is a big factor in when you sell benefit, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to training. We talked about training and your training culture in your company. What's the preferred way of getting training to your technicians? Leader-led, webinars, lunch and learns? What's your favorite?
I definitely like to take opportunities in the shop to share and to show and tell opportunities where somebody figures something out. We bring everybody over and say, look, this is what so-and-so found. And I think there's definitely a place for that. We will do that frequently. As far as outside training, a lot of the times it's done through parts stores. It's done through our parts suppliers. And occasionally we have a company called Automotive Seminars, and they do technician training, and they're not affiliated with any parts stores, but they offer some good, solid training. So a lot of times it's after hours in the evenings, and I'll send the guys to however many they want to or however many they really should go to.
When you send them and they come back, do you ever debrief them as to what they learned?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm spending the money. I want to know what they're learning, and really sometimes, you know, like you've said on your podcast, listen for just one thing, or whatever your tagline is, just
listen to learn just one thing.
Yes, listen to learn just one thing. And I think, you know what, by sending my guys to training, I come back, what's that one thing that you needed to be reminded of? What's that one thing that you learned? How are you going to be able to apply that every day to become more efficient, more productive, to just do a better quality job?
Got it. Any upgrades or equipment investments on the horizon for you?
We really need to update our alignment equipment, especially our alignment rack. It's kind of been a sore point and just kind of causing some efficiency issues. So I think that's going to be upcoming in 2016. Our building that we have here, we have about 8,200 square feet. We're only utilizing about 6,000 square feet right now. So we definitely would like to expand in that other part of the building. And add a few lifts in there and make a go and make a run at it in there as well.
Excellent. Do you have any unique system that has improved your workflow recently that you've upgraded?
Well, this is a system that I love because it's simple and it works. We have a door between our front office and our shop, like most places mm-hmm. do. It's a door that's there, and on the backside is a whiteboard. And that whiteboard is just things that technicians write down that they need. Running low on brake clean, running low on oil, need some number 8 hose clamps. And the service advisors, as they go in and out, they take a look at the whiteboard and they say, oh, we got to order some hose clamps. So they go ahead and take care of that. So that's been one of the greatest things that we've done just to help not have to stock so many parts and keep the parts on hand when we need them.
Is there anybody inside the company following up with your customers on any deferred work?
We use Demandforce to do some reminders in the mail, emails, and that kind of stuff. So nobody specifically in the company, we outsource that right now.
What's your best method right now of acquiring a new customer?
Our best method of acquiring a new customer, we do a lot of direct mail, a lot of paper in the mailbox kind of things, and that is by far our number one producer of bringing people in.
Out of all your community efforts, your philanthropic gives to the community, what's given you the most satisfaction?
We partnered about 2 years ago with a charity organization called Seat of Hope. It's a crisis pregnancy center. And what we've basically done is we'll take X amount of our budget and we will give that to them in the form of auto repair. And what they utilize it for is they'll get single moms that come in. You know, it's a crisis situation. They're pregnant. And maybe they need a car that's reliable so they can go to the doctor's appointments and that kind of stuff. So they'll refer them to us. We'll give it a bumper-to-bumper inspection, and we'll fix it up. And the beauty of the program has been that a lot of times when I go to my number one and number two part suppliers and say, hey, look, we're fixing up this car for this young lady. Here's the situation. Is there any deals or anything you can do for us on the parts? They give us the parts at no cost. And it's just been a great way to extend those dollars and help more people because they step up to the plate and say, you know what, if that's all you need, then we're going to go ahead and give it to you.
That's great to hear. So on a yearly basis, about how many cars or young women are you helping?
I think this year we probably did about four or five cars. So, yeah. And a lot of times they come in, well, you know, I have this noise or this fluid leak. Well, we look it over and it's like most cars, well, the fluid leak is important, but you're going to need brakes. You got 4 bald tires. You're going to need this. And so, I mean, when they come in, they pretty much get a complete overhaul.
Joe, is the car dealer a threat to your business?
No, I don't think so. I have goals and aspirations of competing on that level. I think with our facility, we can definitely do it. But you know what? We provide service that's personable. And I think that that sets us apart from the dealer.
What's the shop of the future going to look like?
I think the shop of the future is going to be clean, going to be wired. It's going to be, or I should say maybe wireless. You know, I think definitely giving customers options. You know, one of the things thinking about, boy, it would be nice now it's tire season, thinking, you know, having them come in and having just a kiosk that they can go to and see all of our tires and all of our pricing there, where they can just enter in all their sizes and maybe seek some consultation from our service advisors, but maybe having them make some more of those decisions and doing more of that shopping even in the store, and then being able to lay their hands on those tires.
What about technology? Are you afraid of it? Do you embrace it?
That's funny. You have to embrace it. You have to embrace it. One of the first books that I read was an autobiography about a guy named R.G. Letourneau. And the book is called Mover of Men and Mountains. And this book covers his life. And he started out in the early 1900s as an auto mechanic, believe it or not. And there's a paragraph in here that I highlighted in his autobiography that I want to read because it's great. Okay, so he says, "The year of 1912 was an exciting one in the automotive industry, with many radical improvements in ignition, carburation, lighting, and suspension. Each improvement was more complicated than the last, and we garage mechanics were united in the conviction that the whole thing was a conspiracy to make our jobs impossible. Just to open up a gear shift housing was to drop a pile of springs and gears on the floor that would defy a Chinese puzzle maker to put together." Think about that. That was 1912. How simple of those systems were. And here we are, you know, over 100 years later, and there's still challenges. But we have to be up for those challenges. And we have to have an attitude of willing to accept those and looking for the opportunity in those. So whenever I get down and out on technology, oh, how advanced this is going, I go back to this quote in the book because it's just classic. I mean, really nothing has changed. Back then they were complaining, we're complaining now.
That is just fabulous. Wow, what a great find. Thank you so much for that. What an honor it was to talk to you. Of Auto Safety Center in West Bend, Wisconsin. Beautiful family. You got to check out his website. And I really enjoyed this. This was a really spectacular interview. I think we connected in a big way. So finally, give us the Joe Vallend words to live by.
So, Carm, my words to live by, the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise." So associate yourself with men that are beyond where you're at. Associate with men that are in the position that you want to be. Be involved in a 20 group. That has been one of the greatest things that I've been a part of, is having guys that have shops where I want to be at in 10 years, 5 years, giving me tips and pointers and showing me how they're doing it. Right. You know, it's often been said, if you're always at the head of the class, you're in the wrong class. And I love to go. It's humbling for me. But those are my words to live by.
Be a perpetual student.
Absolutely.
Joe, thanks a mil. Appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.